Right now on the line is the host of You Better, You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better, You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better, You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Nick, what a performance from the Jets last night on Thursday Night Football.
I'll tell you, great to be on with you guys. I said it before the season, and I think we saw it last night. The ultimate upside for this team, and I hope the Jets fans, and BT, you are always confident, I hope the Jets fans believe the ultimate upside for this team is to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's within the range of outcomes, realistically, for the New York Jets to win the Super Bowl this season.
I agree. You know, I agree. And it's a hard thing to do. You know, and Met fans, they get deeper into this October run, hopefully. You know, when you're tortured for so long, it's hard to suspend the reality of what you've been subjected to. But objectively speaking, they check almost every box, really, except the head coach. That's the only thing that worries us here, Nick.
Well, I think the good news is the head coach also plays quarterback. It's totally fine. like the dust up they had on the sideline, people are making a big deal about that. Like, you know what actually would have been an issue? If, like, Saleh brushed off Rodgers. Then it's a story. Rodgers brushing off Saleh, not a story at all. Rodgers 500 times more important than Saleh and Joe Douglas. You know, so, non-story for me.
Even if Rodgers is the pseudo-head coach, I know obviously you say that facetiously, but we all know Rodgers is the alpha male on the team. You know, but the timeouts nonsense, like, then that's on Rodgers. And by the way, the Jets have been running these plays here with barely a second left on the play clock.
But that's Rodgers, Sal. Like, he did that in Green Bay also. Like, that's his thing.
Well, then why is he calling two timeouts in the third quarter? Then I'll get on his ass. It can't be Robert Saleh that we rip. If Rodgers is the head coach and it is the offense and that is Aaron Rodgers, how are you burning two timeouts with 3 minutes to go in the eighth, with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter?
I love, like, they shoved the Patriots in a locker last night, and we're worried about the timeout usage in the third quarter? Like, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's been
in the
a
game.
No, Nick, it's been a theme since he got hired. I mean, we're not trying to bury the lead. Jets look good, but we can't ignore it.
I don't disagree. You guys know I agree. I don't think Saleh's a good coach. I don't think Nate Hackett's a good offensive coordinator. Coach Hack, I call him. Drop the ETT. But look, like, the team is low-hanging fruit. It's really stupid. But he's so good, though. And, man, like, I don't know if he looked like he did when he was 25, but maybe 35 last night. It was awesome. He's great. The team's really good. And Rodgers alluded to it a couple times in post-game interviews. He's still not on the same page with Garrett Wilson, and he's right about this. Like, once that happens and their rapport really gets going, I mean, like, look out. And I'll say this about Braylon Allen, like, the 20, he's 20.
I know.
For rookie running back out of Wisconsin. He reminds me, curious if you guys agree, because this is a New York comp I'm going to make. He's like a younger and slimmer than this player was when this player was young. He looks to me like Brandon Jacobs with the way he runs and that upright style that he runs with. And Braylon Allen is not the best running back on his own team. Like, that's still the great Breece Hall. But if you put Braylon Allen on, I'm going to be conservative here. 20 other teams in the NFL out of the other 31, he would be the best running back on that team. This is an electric 1-2 combo.
There's no doubt. I don't know if I'm feeling the BJ comparison as much. I mean, he was such a big boy, and I know what you mean, just that thump when he lowers his pads. So it's not a crazy, crazy comparison, and a caller brought that up earlier. But listen, here's what really...
That caller stole it from me. He follows me on Twitter, guaranteed.
Did you tweet it last night?
I tweeted it during the preseason, actually.
Oh,
all credit to me.
Oh, okay, there you go. All credit go to Nick. We love Nick here. He is a credit seeker, and we give it to him when he needs it, and we give it to you there. So listen, I see Rodgers running around last night. Great mobility, and we all knew he could throw. But to me, and the Garrett Wilson point is a point that I made as well, like, they're not even on the same page yet. His ability, and we needed to see this, to still make off-platform plays, man, that to me changes everything for the Jets offense moving forward.
There's no question. There's absolutely no question. And he did that a couple times last night, right?
Yeah.
The one when they're going from left to right, I want to say it's the third quarter. And it was Jeremy Ruckert, right? Not Tyler Conklin.
Yes, it was Ruckert. Yeah,
that caught that one pass when Rodgers is rolling out. And look, like, again, look, we all watch the games. Monday night, week one against San Francisco, Rodgers rolls out a couple times, and you're like, whoa. He doesn't look good. Now, we reserve judgment because he's 40 and coming off a serious injury, but second half last week against Tennessee, full game last night against New England, he's never going to confuse anyone with Jaden Daniels or like Lamar Jackson now, right? That's not going to be what it is. But it was like when Marino was awesome. You need him. Marino was never a mobile quarterback, but he was so functional, moving in the pocket, evading pressure, you know, rolling out, being able to deliver the ball on target. Rodgers did that last night, and I'm not trying to gas up Jets fans. Like, the season could still go south. I hope it doesn't. I really think you've got major, major outcomes available to the team this year.
Where are you at with the defense, Nick? It's been obviously not as great as we thought through the first 2 weeks. Last night, certainly much better. Will McDonald's emerge? They lose Jermaine Johnson. Do you think this could still be a top three, top five defense in the NFL?
I think it's within the realm that that could be the case. We're not going to find out anything next week. Well, I guess we will if Bo Nix lights them up, which would be, I mean, got to tell you, that would be really bad if that happened. Like, it should be a cakewalk next week for the Jets defense against Bo Nix and the Broncos. But then, like, London game against Minnesota, home Buffalo. Like, we'll find out a lot about where this Jets defense is at now. I think the good thing about the construction of the team this year and Rodgers being there is in the past, the defense has had no margin for error. And that's why we've seen at the end of the year for the last couple of years, the defense at the end of the year is like, F it. Like, we are done. We can't handle this anymore. With Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle, and they just kind of give up. Like, the offense is going to be good enough this year where the defense doesn't have to be like the 85 Bears for the team to seriously contend for a Super Bowl championship.
I'm with you. I am with you. By the way, it's Nick Costos, BT and Sal here on The Fan. So, let's get to those Giants. We know you love them, although you're honest, and they don't look good.
Oh, man.
I mean, geez, this is the fork in the road, dude. They either cobble something together this weekend and give Giant fans a semi-meaningful season, or they play poorly, and it's over. I don't think there's much middle ground here, Nick.
Yeah, and just, it's like, you know, just when you think this franchise has hit rock bottom, grab those blue shovels and they keep digging, man. How about losing because you don't have a kicker? Like, anyone out there, like the Giants fans, like, you still want to like defend this regime? We still want to defend them? Like, they're so great. Wow, Brian Daboll's so awesome.
Well, Sal does.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could get into that. I was going to ask you if you were over that loss yet from Sunday. Clearly, you're not.
Well, I would say it's less me being, well, I bet the Giants, and that was more frustrating for me, honestly. But yeah, like, you're a Giants fan. Like, by the way, the same thing happened last year against the Jets. They knew Gano was hurt. And then they tried a couple field goals with Gano at the end. He missed all of them. And this year they knew he was hurt again. And you don't have someone ready just in case. Like, this is lunacy. This is not like the Pac-12, which no longer exists, or the ACC. This is the NFL. Like, what other organization would go into a game knowing the kicker's hurt and not having someone potentially
ready?
All
right, but who are you blaming for that? Because why? What is Dable, a medical guy all of a sudden? Don't they talk to doctors and get
sure, then stuff? I blame Shane. Then I blame Joe Shane.
Well, you know what? At least that's refreshing for a change, because it's all been about Brian Dable, and yet nobody brings up Joe Shane.
Oh, they are both brutal. They're both brutal. Get them. Again, are there fans out there that if this is going to go south and their betting market says they're going to lose on Sunday, that think that they should pick the next quarterback of this team moving forward? Like, I want the Giants fan that thinks that to step forward.
There's a few of them, Nick. There's a decent amount who still believe in this duo.
Well, the thing that I get from Giants fans is, we're constantly rebuilding. How can we keep doing this? Have to give them another chance. Yeah, you know, like, if you ever started your own business, you'd be out of money real quick if, like, that's the attitude you want to take. Like, this is what's called in business, in my opinion. I guess they can turn it around. I can be wrong. This is a sunk cost. It's
right,
done.
Right, but
like,
Nick,
rip the Band-Aid off.
Here's the reason why, and I'm less sold on Shane, because I don't know how you could properly evaluate a general manager in 2 years plus two games.
Now,
he
extended Daniel.
Oh, Jones. I was just going to say, yeah, understood, but is that him or is that the owner?
Well, I mean, if it's...
Can't get rid of the owner, and we know how much the owner loves him, so I'm with you on that. That's his one to me. Now, I know he's missed, you know, Evan Neal, whatever, you want to get into it, Thibodeau, sure, but there's going to be some hits and some misses, and I don't think that's fair in just 2 years plus two games. The Daniel Jones one is bad because they haven't selected a quarterback a young quarterback. Daniel Jones was the guy that they selected. But are we blaming Shane and Dable for that, or are we blaming Mara? And I'm not so sure the answer. And for me, when I'm evaluating Dable, who I believe more in than Shane, it's because of what he did in year one with a crap roster and a bad quarterback. And then even last year, when the season could have gone off the rails, where they could have been a 2 or 3 win team.
You don't think last season went off the rails?
I don't, because he righted the ship to win 6 games at the end.
Think about how low the bar is.
Understood.
That's the sentence.
They righted the ship
to win 6 games.
I know.
And picks. And by the way,
but Nick, he was playing with a third string quarterback.
Going off the rails, by the way, again, this is not the point you're making. Like, that would have been better than what happened, because we would have Jaden Daniels or Drake May right now instead of Daniel Jones. But your point is somewhat valid there. I understand.
Well, and that's where it's complicated, because, and I'm with Sal in the sense that, yeah, I mean, they should beat the Jets as well. You could have 7 or 8 wins, but...
That was
gross. But they could have been 3-14, and he was able to just kind of at least piece it together enough where you're like, well, it could have been worse, and... It's hard to know what's real with these guys, but Nick, I'm with you in this one regard. All right, I'm much less high on Dable than Sal. Shane, I'm not really sure yet. But when Giant fans subscribe to the notion, hey, we got to roll these guys back, it's mostly based on the premise of continuity and not the actual characteristics of the two guys that they want back.
Yeah, it's like continuity for continuity's sake is stupid.
Right.
Like, you have to have an actual reason for continuity. And the other thing is, like, I said this earlier this week, there's a chance, you know how, like, Channel 11 locally here for years airs Seinfeld, right, at 11 and 11:30.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that the Giants' offseason Hard Knocks will eventually age to be the greatest situational comedy of all time. And WPIX will air that, episodes of Hard Knocks, at 11 o'clock every night. Specifically, the episode where Brian Dable is pitching Joe Shane to hire Shane Bowen as the defensive coordinator, and is just showing him like an ESPN stat page of, well, look at the yards per attempt on the ground for the Titans defense the last couple years. Yeah, how's that run defense look?
Yeah.
2 weeks. Oh, this is great. And here would be my question for you guys and for people that want them back. What is the Giants' most likely record this season, in your opinion?
Five or six wins.
All right, so if the Giants, let's say 6-11. Let's say they go 6-11. So this will be playoffs year one, disaster year two, disaster year three.
Yep.
Do you think that this regime deserves to stick around and choose the next quarterback?
No, I don't.
I still don't know if you could judge them properly without having seen them pick an actual quarterback.
God, I'd love for you to be my boss.
Well, I gave you the reasons why. It's not blind faith. And by the way, I will say that my belief in Dable, they've got to win this game. Like, you can't get smoked by the Vikings week one. And I don't care what the excuses are. You can't lose to Washington, certainly the way that they did in week two, and then lose again to Cleveland in week three.
They
and
just might have win this game, by the way.
Oh, that's my point.
But
if they don't, and I do believe they can, because Cleveland's not that good either. Either way, if they don't win this game, my belief in Dable will take a major hit, and I can't have blind faith anymore. Like, at some point, you actually have to start winning games. It's not a third-string quarterback anymore. It's Daniel Jones, the quarterback that they chose. They're not drafting and developing a quarterback, which means that their season should be evaluated based on wins and losses. So far, it's been ugly. If they don't win this week, then I will be with you and say, you know what? I was wrong. I had misguided calculations based off of what he did the first year and just belief in Dable. But they still could win this game and then maybe turn their season around to a certain extent dealing with the limited talent that they have.
Well, I'll tell you what. So, to win this game, if they win, I'll talk about the game in a second. Next Thursday night, what a kick in the junk this was watching the game last night. I had forgotten that next week Thursday night was Cowboys at Giants. Oh, man, can't wait. Oh, boy. As far as this game goes, look, I know I picked the Giants last week, so for as negative as I am as a fan, I can be objective when it comes to like analyzing the game and betting the game. Cleveland's 1-1. Now, I don't think the loss in week one to Dallas was as bad as the final score would indicate, but also, and I bet the Browns last week, so I'm happy that the game turned out the way it did. It's a really misleading final score where the Jaguars like pretty significantly outplayed the Browns and like managed to lose that game more than the Browns managed to win. I don't think this is a great Browns team now. They're going to get, likely, both of their starting offensive tackles back. Neither has played this season. Myles Garrett didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. I checked literally right before I came on the air with you guys. The report just came out. He's back at practice today. Obviously, like, not great news for the Giants. I don't think the Browns are great. And Deshaun Watson, like, Daniel Jones might be the best quarterback in this game. Like, Watson's terrible. He just is. And if the Giants have a kicking situation last week, I think we're viewing the team a little different. Like, they lost because of the kickings, and the defense was bad, too. But they probably win if they have a kicker. And then, how are we viewing this game? What's the point spread? I actually think if you like the Giants in this game, like, bet the Giants to win the game. Just bet them on the money line. I don't think it's impossible that Deshaun Watson urinates down his leg, and it's a brutal performance, just saying. Like, it's definitely possible. And the Giants in a kitchen sink game, if you have any belief in Dable at all, like, he might be coaching for his job here long term. I think you get everything from the Giants in this game. If I had to bet the game with the spread, I would only bet the Giants. And if you like the Giants again, I would just bet them to win. I don't think it's impossible.
All right, Nick, we appreciate the time as always. Looking forward to having you on again next week. That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. All right, I was waiting for Nick to give his tagline there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we had him pulled down, I guess. But
minimal bet.
You have Nick there?
Minimal sweats.
He hung up? Nick, go ahead, give your tagline there. Come on.
Oh man, I was like, man, that was a nice Sal. Minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. I love you guys.
Do you usually do that? Don't you do that after
man,
I do
on,
the read?
Man.
No, but you were literally like, that was Nick Kostos.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
okay, like now he's going to break.
Oh no,
it did sound like he was booting you off the stage there, Nick. I'm with you.
Which, by the way, it's your show. Totally.
No, no, no. I meant to do the read and then have you tag it, and then I looked at Dover, who's pointing me to do the read.
But Sal, like we all do this for a living, like you, your inflection. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not perfect. I mean, what do you want me to do here?
Well, right.
Well, now you're done. Thanks, Nick. See you later. All right. Approved Oil has been a leading oil dealer. We'll come back. We'll have our perfect parlay picks a little bit later on. Ooh. Something from the Mets game last night that I want to get into next too.